right? Maybe a little dog will do, right? Do something. Then when the thief attempts, right, he's going to lose, right, damage his pair of pants, but you're okay, right? You won't suffer your health. Okay, this is why you are also to be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. Be ready, even though you don't know, you should just be ready. Okay, so, all right. So, you have this point. Jesus will return here. The comparison is the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Son of Man, is likened to the coming of a thief. Right here, and also a few other places. For instance, there's also a verse in Revelation, actually a couple of verses. Here's one, Revelation 3:3, early on. Write to the church in Sardis. Sardis is a city. Write to the angel or messenger of the church of Sardis. Jesus said to them, same idea, be alert. Be alert, be watchful, be vigilant. If you are not alert, I will come like a thief. I will come like a thief, and you have no idea what hour I will come upon you. Again, Jesus' coming is likened to the coming of a thief. A thief, a robber, a burglar? Thank you, burglar. However you say that. I'll stick with thief. You think you have trouble? Okay. All right, so Jesus coming is like that of a thief. Okay, here's an image. Here's an image, right? It's brief. You can say this is an analogy. This is a metaphor. This is a simile, right? Or this is, if you like, a mini parable. It's not an extended, it's not a whole description. It's very brief, right? Jesus says, back to Matthew, Jesus says, if the householder, the occupant or homeowner, if that's who it is, if the householder, homeowner had known when the thief was coming, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken into, right? So, and Jesus is saying his coming will be like that. The coming of the Son of Man is like the visit of a thief. Because one reason is it's unexpected. Now, okay, Jesus gave parables, and we were asking, the question to ask is, how would the people who listened to Jesus have understood it? Right? And sometimes the way we think today is not the same, and the situation today is not exactly the same as it was back then. Of course, in some ways, it's the same. There were thieves then. The thieves now, right? Homes get robbed then, homes got robbed now. Some things never change, right? But maybe the details, there's some difference, and sometimes that matters. And maybe if we just think about it today, we don't get the right idea, right? We'll see. Let's look into that. Okay, so question, simple parable. There's a homeowner, there's a thief. Situation, there's a home, there's stuff. Okay, ask about, who are you? Who are you and I supposed to identify with in this parable? Right? You know, there's other parables. The father and the prodigal son, who are you? And the elder brother, who are you? You're either the father or the younger brother, older brother. You know, parables are spoken and we're supposed to identify with one person or the other. Okay, so in this parable, who are you? Are you the thief? Thank you. Number one, you're not the thief, right? You're not the thief. We know that. Okay, so because Jesus says, right? It more almost directly says it. The coming of the Son of Man in his return is like the coming of the thief. So Jesus is in some ways depicted as a thief. Okay, we got that. You're not the thief. So who are you? You're the homeowner? You're the house? You're the stuff? We got a few possibilities. I mean, the obvious one was you're the homeowner. Another one is, I don't think you're the house. Maybe you're the stuff. Okay, let's look at that. Okay. Now, okay, when Jesus comes, sorry, he's like a thief. When a thief comes, the thief wants to steal stuff. Okay, stealing stuff in this parable, in the parable, is stealing stuff good? If stuff gets stolen, is that good or bad? In this parable. Some people are saying, okay, let's have a vote. Do you think being stealing stuff getting stolen is good? Raise your hand. Okay. Stuff getting stolen is bad? Raise your hand. Some people raise both. And some people sat on their hands. Okay, so, okay, that's what you got to ask, right? Okay, because if you're, right? Okay, so, is it a matter of gain? You know, if stuff gets stolen, is that a gain in this parable or is that a loss? Are we talking about upside? Is there an upside, a gain to this in this parable? Or is there we're talking about downside. If you want to think financially, is there upside potential in this parable for you? If you put yourself in the parable, is there upside potential in this parable? Something happens that will be positive, you're blessed, you're gain, or is there downside potential? You're going to lose, possibly lose, right? Okay, depends. It's going to depend how you put yourself in the parable, right? It's going to depend. Okay. Okay, so, okay, let me give you two views, and you have some quotes to show you those interpretations. Okay, here's the quote. So Jesus is coming like a thief, and actually mostly in the ancient world, thieves operated at night. There's no street lights. That's when they do their business, right? So, and in other places it says, like Peter, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Right? So not quite the same, but related to this, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Again, thief coming. Okay, here's a quotation. Okay, here's one view says, who are we in this parable? Think about it. There's a house, there's a homeowner, there's a thief coming, and there's stuff in the house. One interpretation says, you and I are supposed to identify with the loot, the object the thief is after. Treasure, money, whatever. Okay, so here's one parable. Here's one interpretation. Okay, quote number one, we're under Roman 2, first view. The believers are the treasure to be, quote, stolen. You're the treasure. So we need to watch. Watch and be ready to be taken. We need to be watch and be ready to be taken. We're the stuff, we're the treasure, we're the gold or whatever the thief is after. We need to watch, be ready to be taken by the Lord. The Lord's a thief, right? As a secret thief into his presence in the heavens. The thief comes to steal precious things, treasure, at an unknown time. The Lord will come secretly as a stealing thief and steal us if we are precious. He will steal us if we were precious. If we are precious. And notice, this is related, this interpretation relates it to a secret rapture, a secret being taken secretly. Okay, another quote along the same lines. Christ will come back secretly as a thief. No thief tells you in advance what time he's arrived, so, okay, uncertain time. In his secret coming as a thief, Christ will come and steal precious things. No thief steals things without value. The thief is not going to take your garbage, right? Before the thief comes, your garbage is there. When he leaves, your garbage is still there. He's going to leave that. Don't worry about your garbage, right? Okay. Thieves only come to steal what's valuable. Christ tells us If therefore you won't watch, I'll come as a thief. He quotes Revelation. We all must ask ourselves, am I precious? Am I precious? Am I worthy of being stolen by Christ at his secret coming? If you identify, if we are supposed to identify as the object the thief wants to steal, then you got to ask, what's the implication? You got to ask yourself, am I worth stealing? Am I treasure? Am I precious? See where that leads you, that interpretation. Okay. Number three, Christ will come back. We need to be a treasure in the eyes of the Lord. We need to be precious by being mature. So then, now there's a little bit of application. What does this writer say? Being a treasure means you're mature, so that he will come and take us secretly. Only those who are matured in life and transformed. So number one tells you it's to be mature as a Christian, to be transformed, changed. Only those will be precious enough for the Lord to steal. As long as we're untransformed, the thief will not visit us. We almost ask ourselves, right, am I a treasure? Okay, so number one, if that's the way we're supposed to take it, you got to ask yourself, are you and I valuable enough to be taken, right, taken by the Lord? Number two, it leads you to this view. Some Christians will be, there's a certain measure, standard, and some Christians are precious enough, valuable enough to be taken, and some are not. And those who are taken are precious, will be taken, mature, transformed, and those who are not will be left. Okay? So this interpretation takes you down a certain road, right? And it takes you down this idea there are classes of believers, not right, which will be treated differently by the Lord. Okay. See where it takes you? That view takes you down a certain road, has certain implications. And practically, what's the implication for you and I? You and I should focus on our spirituality. It's the inward focus, right? The implication's inward focus. I need to be spiritual. I need to be mature. I need to be transformed. I need to be precious. Then I will be taken. Good for me. It's not an outward focus toward others. Okay, that's an interpretation. Let's look at point 5, 6, 8, 7, 8, 9. Let's look at the context of the ancient world. Does that work? And you may say, you may feel, I know what thieves do. I know what's going on. That's what leads to that kind of, right? You think you can translate 21st century North America into first century Middle East. Well, it may not work. People have studied this. Bible scholars study this. Okay, you want to talk about theft, robbery in the ancient world? What was going on? There's material you can read from that society. Okay, so number five, relevant background information. This is from John Kloppenburg. Okay, attention to the reality of burglary in the ancient Near East helps us account for the image of the burglar, the thief, in Luke and also Matthew, same. Look at the context. Jesus was not speaking in 21st century Toronto. He was speaking first century Jerusalem area, right? And people there hearing him would understand it in their context, what they were familiar with, not, you know, they're not worried about their cell phone. They're not worried about, you know, if I park my car, will somebody break the window and take my laptop computer, right? This, we're talking ancient world. Okay, so let's think about that. Okay, point six is relevant. While the modern reader might be inclined to think about thefts of money, jewelry, and other luxury items, you're right. People think about treasure. The modern reader thinks about treasure. You think people are stealing gold, jewels, silver, gold coins. That's what you and I think about. However, thefts of ordinary domestic items in the ancient world were just as common. The regular people wouldn't think about, you're going to take my jewels. They didn't have any. Right? What were they worried about? What got stolen in the ancient world by regular people? Answer is regular stuff. The thief broke in and he took your tools. He took your chicken, your live chicken. You didn't have a freezer, right? He took your clothes. He stole your shoes. He stole the food, you know, your little bag of seed. That's what people worried about in the ancient world. And that's what happened. You know, thieves broke in and took whatever, right? That was the common experience and from documents. Okay, the houses of the wealthy, this is back then, houses of the wealthy were less subject to burglary than the non-elite. That accounts for the profile. Because of that, reports on theft, don't talk about thefts of jewelry, Picasso, Monet, works of art. They talk about thefts of common stuff. The guys took my tools, my hammer, my shovel, right, my chisel, whatever, and just your regular stuff. Okay, so, okay. Point seven, burglars did not restrict their activities to luxury goods, but took staples, animals, tools. Because in the ancient world, if you had chicken, you're in a village, you live in a chicken, guess what? You're raising chickens. At night, you're in the house, so are your chickens. You have sheep, one sheep, your kids sleep, and the sheep sleeps, and they're not that far apart. Just like today, some people let their dog sleep in their bed. Not me. Back then, you didn't have a choice. You slept in the small house, one-room house. You, your kids, your chicken, your whatever, right? Your little sheep, whatever, right? Okay, and somebody's trying to steal your chicken. Watch out, right? Okay, the wealthy had houses of stone, right? The walls more likely, you know, a decent solid structure. The poor regular folk, not just poor, regular folk had houses built with mud bricks. Mud, compacted mud bricks, not fired. So, okay, what did the thief do? You didn't have a lock on your door. You're the guy of the house, you sleep behind the door. So when somebody's trying to get in, they fall over you, you can do something, right? That's the way things worked, right? And the thief knew that, so what did they do? They tried to break through your wall. But think about it. It's mud, compacted mud. All you need is a bit of wood or whatever. You can break in the wall. Okay, so the wealthy had houses of stone. They have slaves. They have people they can, you know, can fight for them. They can afford other stuff, protection. They didn't get so much robbed. It was the regular folk. Okay, number eight. And that's the householder we're talking about. If the householder had known where the thief was coming, he would have watched and not had his house broken into, is English. The literal word is, he'd have his house dug through. Dug through. Why? Somebody dug a hole in his wall and got in. Right? The image is regular folk. It's not the elite. And regular folk don't have treasure. Regular folk have chickens, have pots and pans, and okay, and a few tools and a bit of wood, and that's what's going to get stolen. Okay, so we're not talking about treasure. That doesn't work. And that's the point is what? That's not what the people listening to Jesus would think about. They would think about their situation. All right. So, okay. That helps because that means that interpretation you just heard is not what people would think about. Right? And it's not what's the obvious understanding. Okay. So, you know, this is not an image of rapture. It's not an image of you and I being treasure, being taken away. If you're a treasure being taken away, you're being taken to a better situation. Actually, that's a gain. Think about it. If you're being treasure, being taken by the Lord, that's a positive event. That's a blessing. That's a gain for you. Actually, this parable is not a story about gain, blessing. It's a story about preventing loss, right? So the second view says this. Who are you? Answer is what the verse says directly. If the householder, there's only two human characters in the parable. One's the homeowner, one's the thief. Between them is the stuff and the house. Okay, point one. Note, with the analogy of the thief, the householder is not God or Christ. Christ is a thief, but the corresponds to the disciple. You're the homeowner. You're the householder. Me too. Okay. The analogy argues like a householder guarding against thief, the disciples need to be vigilant. That's the obvious understanding. You are the householder. That's the scholar, writes on parables. What if, okay, it's counterfactual. Number three, the householder was ignorant of the thief's coming. If the householder had known, then the outcome would have been different. What's the difference? He would not have suffered loss. If you knew things would be different, you would not have suffered loss. This is a parable about avoiding loss, loss prevention. It's not about gain, right? You come out even. You didn't lose a thing. That is better than losing a lot, right? Okay, so it's about avoiding loss. Number four, from the perspective of the house owner, the state of being robbed is negative. Yet the state of being not robbed is neutral, zero. You're not ahead, but you're not down. That's the point. It's better. Being robbed results in loss, yet not being robbed does not result in gain, but only averting loss. It's still better. You don't want to have loss. Avoiding the negative. Be prepared for the thief is to avoid destruction of your home and property in this little parable, avoiding loss. Okay. The image could be seen as translating. Okay, translate that. When the Son of Man comes, you don't want to lose. Be prepared so as not to be destroyed when he comes. Right? So that's the note. Avoid judgment, avoid loss. It's not about being raptured to a better place. It's about avoiding being judged, being suffering. You know, in the same section, quick aside, same section in Luke, Jesus told them, as part of this same overall passage, Jesus told his disciples, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then flee. Is that clear? Is that a clear warning? When you see Jerusalem besieged by armies, flee. Out. Get out. Get out. That's a warning. Because the city's going to fall. A lot of people are going to suffer. Okay. That's AD 30. The disciples heard that. Peter, James, John, and they, no doubt they passed on to others because Luke recorded it. Okay, fast forward 35 years. The Jews rebel against Rome. Rome retreats, then advances with armies. Eventually they begin to besiege Jerusalem. They surround it, and Jerusalem has walls. They surround the city. What would you do? What would you do? You gonna stay? Look, Jesus told the disciples a clear warning. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, what should you do? Get out. Get out. Exit. Okay. What did the Christians do? Answer is they got out. That's history. You don't read that in the Bible. That's history. History tells you the Christians left before the whole siege was total, the Christians left Jerusalem, right? The church in Jerusalem, the believers in Jesus Christ as Messiah left. Why? Jesus told them. Praise the Lord. They were, you know, and they took the word. All right? Okay. If you're a Christian and you said, well, I think we're going to win, what's going to happen? You're going to die. Okay. So most Christians, I believe, got out. Maybe some stayed. If you stayed, it's your fault. You suffer because Jesus told you. Okay, this parable is like that. Jesus is telling them, okay, when Jesus comes, there's a lot of bad stuff happening, and you got to be prepared. Prepare yourself. Get ready. Be prepared. Right? That's the kind of warning. The Christians in 80, 70, 60s heard that. Okay, so this has implications. Yes, you don't know. You and I don't know when Jesus is coming, but we need to be ready. We need to be watched. Okay, what should we do? Be ready, watch. What does that mean? It's not just a matter of try to be spiritual, try to be transformed. No, Jesus tells us in other parables what to do. What does Jesus mean? Be watchful, be ready. What does he mean? Answer? You got to read on. Thank you. Okay, there's three or four more parables right after this. What does Jesus mean, be ready? What should we do? Number one, he tells us a matter about servants, the wise and faithful servant taking care of the others in the household. He tells a parable about 10 virgins, 10 bridesmaids. He tells a parable about the talents. Right, which we're going to cover at 11 o'clock. He tells a parable about sheep and goats. He tells four parables. Those four parables are to tell us, okay, Jesus says be ready. That's abstract, general. What does he mean by being ready, preparing, answer, four parables? That's what it means. And part of that is how we're not, it's not just how you and I are inwardly, personally, spiritually, it's also